Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Show, coming to you during the COVID-19 crisis. Today, our special guest is friend of David Wilkerson, Prophet Marianne Peluso McGahan. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Lori Crable, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from the Baker family home in the beautiful Ozark Mountains, here's your host, Mondo de la Vega.
Hello, everybody. My name is Mondo, my beautiful sister, Maricela Woodall, and Lori Crable. I love you girls.
I am so proud of you.
Welcome to our home. Welcome to Dad's office. This office right here is such a special place where I'm telling you every morning that I know that when we drive here and we get to be a part of the program, there's such a special anointing in this room. I hope that as you watch today's program, that you can feel the anointing of God and that God will speak to you through this show today. Listen, God is moving around this nation. God is warning this nation. And God has used our father, Jim Baker, your friend, to speak to you from this room.
Yes.
The revelation. I mean, when I think about a lot of the revelation that Dad has had over the years has been in a place of solitude, a place away from the noise, away from the critics, away from family, to hear from God. I want to encourage you as you watch today that you will find a place in your home that you will hear from God, that you will write the vision down. Listen, that's a scripture already, is Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision down, make it plain so others can read it and run with it. God wants to give you something special as he did our father, as he sits in this room night after night, day after day, bringing you a message to warn the church, but a love story to remind the church that Jesus came into this world to die for you, to give you hope and salvation, and to warn you. Jesus came into this world to warn us. Before he left, he gave us instructions.
Yes.
After the instructions, we would need to follow them so we won't get hurt. That's the whole point. You know what? What a love story. And Dad has, you know, been through some of the most difficult health times in his life. But your prayers, your support has really encouraged him to keep going and not be discouraged. He reads your notes and your letters, and he's reminded once again that the reason why God has called him for this hour was to warn you, to give you the prophetic voice and the prophetic word that God is sharing with him in the moments when, you know, none of us are around him and he's resting, he's recuperating, he's rebuilding. It's going to be a long road ahead, but it's going to be a road that we know that together we're going to help him get through it.
That's
we're going to help mom get through it. And right now they are away, they're resting, they're seeing the specialist, but at the same time, the word of God must keep going forward. And that's the reason why we do this program today. God is looking for us to step into God's calling and mature in this hour because we are in the book of Revelation and God is looking for men and women to grow up and pay attention to where we are and go back and listen to the old prophets like David Wilkerson and prophets in the Word of God and the new prophets that are stepping up right now. But God is calling you to mature in his word, to listen to his word, to pay attention to the signs all around you. This is the greatest hour for the church. God is looking for the church to wake up because the alarm is sounding so loud. Listen, we cannot be a part of what the world's doing right now. It seems like everything that Jesus prophesied, everything that John saw in that vision is aligning as the beginning of the birth pains. And this is the greatest hour where the church must be awakened to understand what our role is and what the enemy is planning to do. But thank God for the watchmen.
Yes.
That get to see what's coming to warn us and how we can intercede and pray for this hour.
Right.
How about that for an introduction?
Amen. Yes.
We have a special guest today, and you're going to hear from a prophet that has been long gone. But his message, when you shared it on Facebook, that message is still resonant inside of me and relevant.
So
real quick. When you heard that message, what did it do to you the moment you heard it?
Absolutely. You know, it's one of the voices that truly, I believe, if there was ever a time that the church needs to hear it, it's now. And that's Pastor David Wilkerson. You know, and as I heard his words, as I heard the warning coming forth from his mouth, it literally, like a lightning bolt, hit me to the deepest part inside of me. And I said, God, Lord, if we don't start crying out for anguish, if we don't start crying out to you, Lord God, if we don't start seeking your face, Lord, and warning the people, and not just warning them, but calling repentance, Lord. So now was the time that we need to make it simple. We need to make it clear about repentance. And that's what we're going to do on today's show. Because the Lord told me, he said, it's your responsibility now. When you sit on this show, I've given you now the responsibility to help those who are watching, to where make it simple, make it clear, make my word become something that is easy, that is not intimidation. My word that is something that is literally going to bring forth truth. And we are here. We're going to equip the church today. So I ask every single one of you who are watching today, will you understand the responsibility that we have, that when the woman of God speaks today, will you listen? Mm-hmm. Will you hear the words that are going to come forth? You know, when we prayed right before this show, my prayer was, God, Lord, every word that comes forth through our mouths, Lord, will you ordain it through your spirit? Mm. Don't let anything that is not of you come forth, Lord. And so today, that is what we are committed to do. That is the mandate that God has given us. He said, you will bring forth my word. You will bring forth the truth of what the church needs to hear for the day and age that we are living in, because time is ticking. It's happening sooner and sooner, faster and faster. And the Lord reminded me today in Revelation, he says, I am coming soon. And it is sooner than any of us know, any of us believe, but the Lord is coming back. And God showed me, he said, Marisol, I am a God of mercy. I am a God of love. So today, that is what God's asking. Will we stop? Will we take a moment? Will we listen to the woman of God?
Marianne Peluso McGahan has been a friend of David Wilkerson. Not only she's a renowned soloist, she has ministered around the world in crusades, a close friend, a confidant of David Wilkerson. She has ministered with him at the Times Square Church in New York City. Marianne Peluso McGahan is a watchman whom God has given a prophetic gift and insight into the end time events that are taking place. I want you to please help us welcome our friend Marianne Peluso McGahan to the program right now.
Hello, Mondo.
Hello, Marianne. How are you?
I am just full of hope and encouragement, and yet I sense a great destiny in this program for many watching today. I believe it'll be a crossing in the roadway for many, and so I'm excited about that. I love you all. I'm honored to be here. I cannot tell you how much this means to me, because I personally have a love for Jim and Lori, but I've grown to love you all, the family. I just feel like we're the family of God, and I'm very honored to be here today. Thank you.
Marianne Peluso McGahan goes way back. A lot of you may think that she just kind of came out of nowhere on the Jim Baker Show, but the history of her ministry goes back beyond our years. We want to give you a little insight on what this woman of God has done in the body of Christ to minister to millions of people around the world. Here's just a little snippet of her worshiping God at a stadium with thousands of people and millions watching around the world. Take a look at the ministry of Marianne Peluso McGahan back in the 1980s. Watch this.
¿Quién soy yo con Marianne Peluso?
When I think about how he came so far from glory, he came and dwelt among the lowly, such as us.
Gahan, listen, you have ministered around the world, Marianne, yes. And that ministry is still continuing on today. Mm-hmm. You have sat with some of the most unbelievable men and women of God mm-hmm. throughout your ministry. I want to ask you, what was it like ministering around the world back in the 80s? And then God brought you to David Wilkerson, and then you ministered with him. But what was it like that in those times when God was using you to minister to millions of people?
I tell you, Mondo, girls, I had come out. I had been born again, spirit-filled for about 6 years at that time. And I had such a sense, you know, when God delivered me out of the world, rock and roll, drugs, clubs, concerts, you wouldn't even recognize me. And I was just overwhelmed that God was able to use me. I like that song says so aproposly that you played, that you selected. Who am I? I know who I am in Christ. I don't mean to sound like, oh, I don't know who I am. I have my authority. But I would stand and look at those crowds and I would think, oh God, if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be here. I'm so grateful to you, Lord, and I want to tell everybody in the world that there's hope and that you do love us and that you can take what is so wrong and make it so right. And that was the fruit of a decision I made to go all the way, not 99.9, but 100% for Jesus and not look back. I was humbled then, and I, to this moment, am still humbled.
Marianne, you have ministered and you have prophesied over our own mother about where she is now. You have been gifted with an amazing prophetic gift and a watchman to watch the things that, you know, the church is facing today. And that brings me to God brought you to the right place when he brought you next to a man that began to see a vision in 1973 that changed, that rocked the church world like never before, a vision that till this day is so relevant to where we are right now. And Marianne, we have trusted you with what God has given you. Can you share, where is America at right now? You walked with the prophets. You've prayed with the prophets. You've interceded for this nation. in America right now is a it's at a point where I don't think we will ever get back to normal. But then again, God is doing something, and God has showed you where we are right now as a nation. And immediately, I think we have to dive in, because we want to know, how do we pray for this nation? But God revealed to you 4 points, 4 areas that the enemy is attacking this nation, is attacking the church. Can you share what are those 4 points that you were shown?
Yes, well, we're in a time of sowing and reaping. You know, when God clothed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were naked, and he took the animal skin and he clothed them. That was his mercy. It was his government that drove them out of Eden, set an angel there with a flaming sword, and wouldn't allow them back in. In other words, the mercy of God covered them, but they had to be driven out because of their disobedience, and they had to suffer the consequences. Of course, we know that Jesus later was raised up on a pole, in the same way that God told, or Moses told, the children of Israel, when you look on the pole, the snakes will stop biting you. Jesus was raised on a pole at cross. So there is redemption at the end of this, and I love the way you all started the program. This whole reaping and sowing God's mercy, we're in a time of God's government. It was God's government that drove them from the garden. What I want to say is that when I gave my life to the Lord in 1980, I saw the same demons in the church. I saw greed, competition, entertainment, self-promotion. That got knocked out of me, because that's not his kingdom. And I knew I wanted to live for him, and whatever I had to do. I was so grateful for the forgiveness and the revelation and the change and being born again. But when I came into the church and I saw all these things I got delivered from in the world, I began to anguish, and I began to look around. And I'm not anyone. I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm above it. I've arrived. But I walked with an anguish in me that I felt like I wasn't understood. It was too much for people that I could share with. It seemed like no one understood. And God put me with David Wilkerson in 1988, and I finally found someone who was hearing the same thing I was and seeing the same thing I was, that the church, the world, society, America, you see, America belongs to God. Christopher Columbus, if you read In the Light and the Glory, a book by Peter Marshall, get it. Christopher Columbus had a prophetic word. He wrote down a prophecy that God said to him, I'm taking you to a land, and I will establish that land, and I will favor that land as I did Israel. You see, America is God's idea. Not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not the independents. America is God's idea. What has happened is, through the years, America, society, the government, the presidents. In 1963, Madeline Murray O'Hare had prayer taken out of schools. In 1973, Roe v. Wade was passed by the Supreme Court, a 7-2 vote in favor of legalizing abortion. That's 57 years of babies being killed. If one person, Abel, the Bible says that the blood of Abel cried out, and God said to Cain, 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 where's your brother? Well, what do you mean, where's my brother? His blood is crying out. Can you imagine 3,000 babies a day being killed? This has been going on for 57 years. We are in a time, we've seen God's mercy on America. In the same way that God clothed Adam and Eve, gave them those animal skins, but he drove them out because his government came into play. And that's where we are. America, as a society, we are moving into God's government. He's shown us mercy. He's been warning us through the David Wilkersons. There have been many other people that God has sent to warn this nation. And as of recently, this nation continues, its governments, its mayors, its governors have continued to rebel and shake their fist and say, we don't need God. So where we are in America as a society, we are in a time of reaping. We are in coming into a time of God's government. When God says, I am going to move through my justice. Everyone is seeking justice. God says, no, my justice is coming about. Now for the church, where is the church? Well, I'll tell you what, the church has fallen asleep. The church has sought the applause of the world. Can I say, seek a friend in churches? We're going to pattern success after a program instead of a person. We want the applause of the world instead of the approval of God. And God has allowed us to go on. 9/11 was an alarm clock, but we put it on snooze. So where we are right now, you know, the Bible says that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. God and his government is going through the land. And what we're seeing on the streets of America, the rioting, the violence, the lawlessness, God hasn't sent it necessarily. All he has to do is step back because he was taken out of schools in 1963. And we turned our back on him as a church when we didn't stand up like this ministry and your dad is and your mom that is not afraid to say abortion is wrong. We are reaping ministers and pulpits that have fallen asleep and that have cared more about their pocketbook than the bank in heaven called souls. So that's where we are. God, all God's done is come in, moved into his government, and now his government says, what you sow, you reap. And God is always redemptive, even in his reaping. What he says in his word, in Zechariah 1:3, he said, return to me and I'll return to you. But that doesn't stop the wheels of government from rolling. It doesn't stop God's justice. You want to call it judgment? I call it justice. God's justice from going forth. How much more mercy does he has? I believe it has reached the tipping point. I believe for society and the world, out there in that world, the United States in particular, oh, we can cry out to him on an individual basis for mercy. But the mercy for America is gone. We are coming into a time of reaping.
Wow. You know, Marianne, it's so, even when you started talking earlier, Maricela, the reason the warnings have been going out since the beginning of time, yes, was to get men and women's heart to turn back to God.
Yes.
To repent of our evil ways. Our society has become so wicked where good is now evil and evil now is considered good. Yeah. That murdering babies is health care. We have been lied to as a nation, yes, as a people, and God is trying to warn the church, yes, that if you don't wake up, if you don't turn from your evil way, right, this is what's going to happen to the land. We are in a place in time where God is trying to wake us up as a people, yes, where God is sending his watchmen and the prophets to wake us up, to warn the people. But you know what the church is doing right now? You can go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9 and 10 to find out how is the church responding to the warning. They're telling the prophets and the watchmen to stop the visions, stop the prophecies. Why don't you ever, pretty much it says this. Enough is enough. Enough of your doom and gloom. Stop prophesying this thing. Stop giving us visions. Why don't you ever prophesy something nice? Why don't you just lie to us? When the woman of God is warning through the visions. Marianne, can you minister on the four standards that yes. God is setting now and what the enemy is doing, confusing us, giving us fear, yes. trying to wear out the church, distracting yes. the church. Can you minister on the four things that God gave you so we can identify them as the church and really understand how to pray, how to repent, how to come back to God? The church is one of the yes. most important things that God has given us as a people. Build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Can you minister to us on what's going on and what on those four points? And boy, it seems like one after another, one attack, another attack. And we're trying to keep our heads above water. But when I read your mm-hmm. sermon and your note, it gave me hope to know that God is still in this business of helping us.
Yes, he is. And, you know, the fallout of falling asleep and the church reaping what it sowed in wanting to build bigger churches and have the approval of man and not offend people. You don't hear sin anymore. No one's preaching on the nearness of the coming of the Lord, the book of Revelation. It's like a country club. It could be like a pep talk, you know, just a pep talk to get you back up. And it's all about me, 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 me. Sunday churches become all about me, me, me. As we've reaped through the events of what is happening through COVID, through riots, that has produced these four things. Fear. Fear comes to rob faith. The very thing that Jesus puts a premium on. You know, he said in his word, when he comes back, Jesus' own words, he said, but when the Son of Man comes back, returns, will he really find faith on the earth? The opposite of faith we know is fear. The very thing that we need to rise up and stand and take above all, Ephesians 6:11 says, above all, taking up the shield of faith. Too many people are warding off the darts that have stuck to their body. But what is faith? Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is courage right in the middle of all hell breaking loose. But you can't have faith. God has given every man a measure of faith. But we've got to exercise that faith. But you cannot have faith in someone that you're not intimate with. And that faith comes through knowing Jesus intimately. It is faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Another thing that's coming, the Lord showed me, was confusion. The enemy is trying to confuse. So many people are confused about what's happening. Is COVID, you know, from China? Was it a mistake? Was it biological warfare? Do I need to put a mask on? Do I not need to put a mask on? I mean, go through the list of everything in social media that's being posted, and you could get real confused. Confusion is being used in this hour to rob us of clarity and vision. Another one is fatigue. Fatigue comes to wear us out. And Mondo, you quoted this on the last program I was on in Daniel 7:25. It says of the man of sin, the Antichrist, he would try and change the laws and times, and that he would try and wear out the saints. Daniel 7:25. Well, we know that man is not here right now. He's on the earth, I believe. And his spirit, we can sense and feel it getting stronger. He is getting closer and closer to being revealed. So it stands to reason that that wearing out and that fatigue would come before him and be around him and be in the atmosphere. And it's everywhere. People are tired. They're wore out. Fatigue is the opposite of what God wants to do, and that is to give us strength. God is saying that his strength will be the standard to fight the battle with. But the fatigue is to wear us out. And the last thing the Lord showed me was distraction. Distraction has come to rob us of revelation and instruction. distraction says, I don't know where to go. I don't know what's going on. And that's where the Lord says, we need to be like the tribe of Issachar. The tribe of Issachar in the Old Testament was one of the 12 tribes that says, the word says, that they knew and understood the times so that they could instruct Israel in the way that they should go. And so this is an hour not to be in fear, not to be confused, not to be fatigued, and not to be distracted. And I'll tell you what this is trying to produce in the body of Christ. And I believe I have a word, and I'm going to camp on that right now. I believe there are many today that are experiencing all four of these: fear, confusion, fatigue, and distraction. And the fruit of that is suicide. The Lord showed me last night as I was preparing and praying that there are those right now, you're watching this program, and you are on the verge of suicide. You want to end your life. You don't have any hope. There's no direction in your life. There's no instruction. You feel like you have no tomorrow. What's the use in living? Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. That's what you're saying. And you know what? You name the name of Jesus. You're a Christian. But let me tell you today that anytime there's a death, anytime there's a truth about a death, God is in the death business, let me tell you. And that death that you're wanting to inflict on yourself is really a perversion of what needs to happen. Jesus said that we're to die. He said that we are to take up our cross. We are to look at our lives as nothing. We are to die to what we want. We are to die in this hour to what we think and what we want and what we feel. But Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I want to tell you, oh yeah, there's a death involved, but the enemy, Satan himself, is perverting that. And he's saying, kill yourself. And the Lord is saying, no, don't kill your body. Fear the one who has control over the body and the soul. Fear God. Die today to yourself. Turn around and say, God, I recognize that there's a death involved, but Lord, it's the death to myself. And I want to stop and pray for you. Right now, wherever you are, I want you to raise your hands and say, God, here I am. I have no agenda, Lord. I have nothing to live for. So, Father, I ask you to come in, that you would resurrect life in me, that you would give me hope. God, that you would raise a standard against all these things that are hitting me. Father, I cry out to you in desperation. There is nothing else. There is no one else but you. And Lord, right now I yield to you. And I thank you that you're going to resurrect me and that your power is coming upon me and that you do have a future and a hope. Your plans for me are for good and not evil. And God, you said that when I cry to you and call upon you, that you will hear me and you will answer me and you will raise me up and you will heal me. So I thank you right now, Lord, for that death that was needed, was not an affliction in my body, but a laying down of my will. And I've done that. And I believe right now that spirit of suicide is leaving. Faith is rising. Hope is rising. Strength is coming. Instruction is coming. Direction is coming. All of those things that the enemy tried to blindside you with, the opposite is happening. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe that, guys.
Wow, great word. We are in those times, yes, where people are committing suicide. People are giving up. People are just not understanding where we are. And I believe that's why God sends women and men and women that are watchmen, yes, for this hour, for this reason. Yes. You know, God loves you so much. He's in love with you. He created you before you were even born. He knew you in the womb. Yes. One of my favorite scriptures, and I want you to remember this. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Scripture is for you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. In the midst of crisis, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of you losing your job, in the midst of you not understanding, where is God? Is this from God? Is this? God is warning his people. God is warning you so we can turn away from our ways or sin, so we can recognize that without him, we can't make it. God sends his prophets and his watchmen to remind us that he loves us. What we go through, the reason why we're here is because there was an anguish that has been born inside of us to remind you, to pray for you, to pray you through some of the hardest times of your life, some of the hardest times for this nation. You want to know why Pastor Jim or Father has been so passionate about the book of Revelation, about writing books like Prosperity and the Coming Apocalypse, Time Has Come book, The Refuge, is because an anguish was born in that prison cell.
That's right.
To warn the church.
Yes.
To repent, to turn from their evil ways. The church has gone too far right, where they lost the vision and the mission of why they were here, why we were to be the pillar of the community. God has given an anguish to Jim Baker to pray for the soul of America. You know why? The reason why the platform of the prophet is being built is because that it was born out of anguish. It was born out of crying out to God. Where are the men and women of God warning the church?
That's right.
David Wilkerson had an anguish in his soul when he saw a vision in 1973 to warn the church. I was so convicted when you posted that the other day. I don't want to be entertained anymore. I need women and men of God that can let me understand the season that we're in right now, the plagues, the crisis, the COVID-19. What does that all mean? Marianne, you're speaking such truth on the fear and the confusion. And I'm afraid that many men and women of God, you may be wearing out. But be patient. Be patient, because God has a plan. God has it under control. But we have to turn from our ways. We have to go back to our first love. We have to go back to why we fell in love with God. Why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. We got to go back to the beginning. We got to go back to what Jesus said and understand why we must go through trials and tribulations. I thank God for men like David Wilkerson that in his private anguish, he felt to intercede for this nation. He felt to intercede for what we're about to go through in life. We want you to watch this video. And as you watch and hear the words of this man, that you pray and that you ask God and that you seek your soul and you seek your heart to understand that we are in that hour where men and women of God must go back to that initial, where we intercede, where we cry out to God for this nation. As you listen to this man, that God will renew a new fire inside of you. Listen to this.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish. Deep pain. Deep sorrow. Agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you'll find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish. You find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? Now folks, look at me. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish, no weeping, not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion? Blind to lukewarmness? Blind to the mixture that's creeping in? That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you. Is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that begins to interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin, it drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony. Until I have been anguished over it. And all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do. Where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not hearing and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing your heart, his heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me
Don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's some need to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I am not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical could give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
Wow, that's so powerful. And so today as we sit here, you know, my heart is broken. It is broken for the church. It's broken for the lost. And I watch that and I say, God, will you give me anguish, Lord?
Yes.
God, and I ask you, will you ask the Lord to give you anguish for what is taking place in our nation, what is taking place is in our churches?
Yes.
The lost that are literally so desperate, searching, looking for something, looking for anything. But will we ask God, Lord, will you break our hearts for the things that break yours, Lord? And will we ask God today to give us anguish? And as David Wilkerson said, anguish is extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful. Acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you, or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow. Are we willing today, church, to say, God, will you give us that, Lord? Will you convict our spirits, Lord? God, will you break us, Lord, for the things that break your heart, God? That when we see the things that are taking place, God, we won't just say that's political, God, but we will see with your eyes, Lord, that these are your children who are crying out to you, seeking you, Lord. And will we answer the call that you have placed on our lives, Lord, to be you with skin on us, Lord? That when people watch us, when they see us, that they will see you, Lord, coming through us, Lord. And before we leave, Marianne, will you just minister? Will you minister to those who are watching, those who feel that they need to hear from the Lord?
Yes.
And will you pray and just speak to those who want a compassion, want to feel anguish in their lives?
Yes. Yes, what I hear the Lord saying as we listen to my dear brother Wilkerson, called him Brother Dave. I heard the Lord say, why do you seek out a doctor? Why do you wear a mask to keep from this illness, this sickness? Do you not know that there is a greater sickness? Do you not know that I am calling you because I love you? And that thing in you that needs to come out, that thing that I need to root out, that thing that needs to go in your life, that part of you that will not give everything to me and trust me and know me and hear me and love me? Will you not give that to me? Why would you seek out a physician to help you and not seek me out, says the Lord? Yes, you go to a physician when you find out you have cancer and you look to that man or that woman to deliver you and to heal you. But I say to you this day, there is a sickness in the soul of this nation and my church, and I'm calling you today. I am calling you today to hear my heart and to be my friend and to know me and have the hope that only I can bring, the hope that only I can give, the justice that only my hand can deliver and meet out. This day, says the Lord, put your eyes on me. Allow me to go in and root out and take out those things that have held you back, those things that have caused you to stop and to wonder and to fear and to doubt me. I will come to you, says the Lord, and I will deliver you. Yea, even as the children of Israel cried out for deliverance, I have brought my church, my bride, to this place of desperation. And yea, there is more, saith the Lord. There will be more violence. There will be more things that if it were told right now, you would not believe it. Things coming upon this nation, death, terrorism, attack on this nation. But know, says the Lord your God, that I will use it if you will seek me, if you will allow this anguish and this pain for what you see coming on the earth, if you will allow it to work a work of my spirit in your heart, you will see your family, your world, and everything around you change. You will see that even as I delivered Noah from the flood, even as I delivered Lot from judgment, even as I delivered the children of Israel from the tyranny of Pharaoh, you will find that place where I will hide you in a rock, in the cleft of the rock. My son Jesus is that rock. Find that place in him through your consecration and your commitment this day, saith the Lord. And you will have no fear. You will have no confusion. You will not be distracted and you will not be fatigued, but you will rise up as that mighty army, the remnant, the wise that I am calling in this hour. You will be part of it, says the Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you today for this word, God. I thank you that you are raising a standard. God, I thank you, Lord, for this ministry and this voice. Father, I thank you for promotion that is coming. The Lord says, promotion is coming to this ministry and to this man, Jim and Lori Baker. It won't come from the south, the east, or the west. The promotion is coming from the Lord. The Lord says that he is going to even the ground and he is going to vindicate. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for vindication. And I thank you for those that are watching right now. God, I ask that you would cover, and long after this broadcast goes off the air, that they would find themselves, if it need be, on the floor, giving their whole entire being to you, God, and watching you change and raising them up in hope, in victory, in power, and in faith. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We rejoice, God, we rejoice. And there came a time when God said, I'm going to raise up a man, his name is Trump, and I'm going to use him. And even as that man has got a backbone of flint, and he will not be moved, the Lord says, I've raised up this man, and I'm going to use this man in this hour, because the Lord says, I have had enough. And when Popeye got enough of watching his girlfriend, Olive Oil, being bullied and persecuted and abused, he said, I've had all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. And that's where God is. God has raised up our president, and you're going to see this man of God. He's not perfect. God chose Cyrus, a man that didn't know him, as God is choosing Trump. And God is raising up Trump in this hour. And you watch this man. You watch this man put his foot down, and it's as if God is coming on the scene through Trump and saying, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm here and I'm going to take over now. I am going to begin to orchestrate and I am going to begin to manifest my justice and my government and my glory and my judgment in America.
Amen. Wow.
Thank you, Marianne. We love you. Thank you for joining us today. And don't forget to support the Voice of the Prophets Network. Mm-hmm. You just heard what you're supporting. This is a word that must be shared. This is a word that must be brought to the forefront. And this is the hour where we stand with the PTL and the Voice of the Prophets Network. Now you know why we have such urgency to build this platform and to build a studio and to be able to continue to bring men and women of God to pray over this nation, to give us a word. But you can do that as well. as you partner with this ministry every month, you can do that. You can stand with us and agree that this is the hour, that this dream, this vision that Pastor Jim and Lori were given in at the Dream Center is being fulfilled right now. And your support, your prayers, you partnering with this ministry will give us an opportunity to continue to bring the watchmen, the prophets. Wow, what an hour to hear Marianne Pelosi's, McGahan's word from the Lord for this nation, for this president, for the church. Yes. And then to arise and bring the voice of the prophets from the dead, almost. A man that has been given a word for the church, David Wilkerson, still giving the word for this very hour. When you support this ministry, when you stand with this ministry, you are helping us fulfill the very purpose why we're here. For a donation every month of $80, you can continue to help this ministry. There's some of you that can do $1,000 to be able to continue to broadcast the PTL network all around the world. Give us a call today, 1-888-988-1588. Or you can go to the website, jimbakershow.com, or you can write us today at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Stand with this ministry today. You know what? When you stand with this ministry, you are also going to receive the prophet's reward that the Bible talks about. We also want to equip you and be able to share with you the visions and the dreams that Pastor Jim has been receiving throughout the years. And today we want to make that available to you. And that is the Now is the Time bundle. You're going to receive Prosperity and the Coming Apocalypse by Pastor Jim Baker. You're going to receive Time Has Come and The Refuge. This book right here is so important for this hour. And The Prophetic Word as a bonus for 2020, where Marianne McGahan gave a word. You're not going to want to miss the powerful ministry of Marianne Pelosi McGahan for this hour, for this year. I don't think she was even prepared to be on stage, but God used her to bring the New Year's into fruition for this hour. Order this today. Help us stay on the air. Support this ministry. There's other offers that we didn't get time to talk about. You can go to the website, jimbakershow.com, to get more information about the food, about the Seisho products, and other materials that will support you in order to grow more in the Lord. Listen, our time is gone. Thank you for joining us today. As a family, we want to say this. God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching today's broadcast. Please continue to stand with our broadcast ministry today so we can continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring the voice of the prophets over the airwaves. Call now 1-888-988-1588 or go online to jimbakershow.com. You can also write Jim Baker at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Thank you so much for your prayers and financial support. It's because of you that we can continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.